So Titus chapter 3, from 1 to 11. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy towards all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Saviour, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. But avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. As for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful. He is self-condemned. So far, a reading.
Our text this morning is verses 4 through 7. I would encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we'll be referring back to this portion of God's Word, and you can see what God is saying to us this morning. And so let's pray that the Spirit will work with His Word as He's promised. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on His preaching this morning. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for Your means of grace that we can observe this morning in the sacrament, but especially in the preaching of the word. And we pray that you would work as you have promised with this word through the operation of your Holy Spirit to call us to faith and repentance, to call us to see and know the work of Jesus Christ, to be strengthened in that gospel and to embrace our life in him. So we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would bless the message we hear to our hearts in that way. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we look at the washing of regeneration. And particularly what we've been through in 2020 with regard to the COVID virus, we learned the importance at that time of washing our hands. When the coronavirus began to rage, it was a little later than this time. I think the news reports reflect that January, the World Health Organization first became aware of it. I remember I had family visiting in February, and the discussion was there briefly. It wasn't all-consuming as it is now, but we were still thinking about it and learning about it. But then we realized we needed to learn something about hand hygiene, and we needed to recognize the need for it, that this virus was highly transmissible, and one of the ways to break that transmission was through regular hand washing. And there was not only the need, there was a method. Remember how long? I don't remember what it was anymore. We've learned, say the ABCs twice to yourself as you're washing your hands, and that should be 20 seconds under soap and water, and that should be sufficient to clean your hands. And then the result, well, it was promised that if we all would do this, we could limit the transmission and the infection of this virus. Well, that was the washing of hands. This morning we're looking at the washing of regeneration. The same is true about baptism. There's something very important for us to understand from what has been displayed to us. One of the things that struck me is God delights to show his people. He did this with Israel. He says, now remember what I showed you in delivering you from Egypt, how I showed you that I can set you free from the slavery and bondage, and the slavery and bondage of Egypt was significant. Biblically, it's the slavery and bondage of sin. And God says, remember how I've showed you that. I've showed you that through the crossing in the Red Sea. And they were to remember that. And so too are we. God had Jesus displayed publicly in his death and his resurrection to remind us, to show us again that he has overcome our sin and our death. And God has established, God instituted the sacraments. The church didn't invent these. God established them. Jesus Christ particularly did this when he commissioned the church to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and to show us again as his people the washing of regeneration. He wants us to remember the need, the method, and the result of the Spirit's work of regeneration. And baptism is designed as a sign and a seal of that reality. Now we need to be careful with this. Baptism is a picture of forgiveness. Baptism doesn't forgive. Only the blood of Jesus Christ forgives. Only God can wash us and make us whiter than snow. Baptism doesn't do that. And yet, God was aware of the danger of misusing the sign, and yet that didn't stop him. We need to recognize that just like having a sign for washing your hands doesn't mean you have clean hands. You still need to use soap and water. So it is. Just because we've seen the sign doesn't mean we've been born again. God wants to show us the need that every one of us has. The need that every one of us has for the washing of regeneration. This is what Jesus spoke about with Nicodemus. Unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so this morning, we need to follow the teaching of God's word. That's what Paul sets forth in Titus 3, verses 4 through 7. The need, the method, and the result. Those three things we're going to look at. The need, the method, and the result of the washing of regeneration. First of all, the need. Do you, people of God, really need this cleansing? Do you really need this cleansing? Are you aware of your need for this cleansing? This is talking about the need for the forgiveness of sins. And it's a common condition shared by every person. And the danger is that we suppose that this need for repentance, the need to turn from sin, the need for saving is just for the really bad people. For those who do really evil things. We're pretty decent folks. We make good neighbors. Do we really need this washing? And we're pushed a little bit further this morning with a baby. A baby. Oh, they're so innocent. They're so passive. They just lay there. Are they really in need of this cleansing? Some evangelical Christians would suggest no, they're innocent. Until the age of accountability, whatever that age may be, they're pure. They don't need that cleansing. God's word teaches no. David says in Psalm 51, David, the man after God's own heart, the man who knew God and walked with God, the man who fell from God in his sin with Bathsheba, the man says, from my birth, I've been evil. I've had this nature that needs to be dealt with, this sinful nature. It doesn't matter who we are. The dirt of sin is all-inclusive. Everyone listening this morning needs to be aware of that. Because that's what God's word teaches. Paul addresses this in verse 3. For we ourselves, it's all inclusive, were once foolish, disobedient. He cites seven symptoms of the presence of sin: foolishness, disobedience, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. Seven symptoms that show our need. And when we realize this need, we see our need, my need, for being saved from sin. How desperate that need is. It's not soap and a little bit of water. We need someone who is just like us, who shares our human nature but is different, is better. We need a Savior that can counter our sin. Just like we need soap to break the wall of the virus, to reduce its transmission, we need a Savior who's just like us in human nature, but more than us, being divine. And notice the beauty and the blessing of what God is showing us in baptism, showing us in these waters of baptism. He's showing us the character of Jesus as our Savior. Yes, He had real human blood, blood that could be shed, a death that He could die in our place as our substitute. He is a man born of a woman, born under the law, with real flesh and blood, and yet He is God. He's the most treasured thing that God has. He's His only begotten Son, His one and only Son from all eternity. And here what Paul is saying is one of those spectacular verses that identifies Jesus as God. It's verse 4. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He's divine. And He's appeared. He's come and He's dwelt among us. God has revealed Him to us. He's shown Him to us. But Paul's focus is particularly His character. And notice the character that he emphasizes. It's the goodness and the loving kindness of God. God, as he looked upon sinners, as He saw us in our need, as He saw us in the pit of misery and sin and condemnation, overwhelmed, unable to help ourselves. Unable to help ourselves. Unable to cleanse ourselves. It is with goodness and loving kindness, with an outpouring of His affection for His Son, for His glory, because of His character, His Son appeared. That's what saved us. That's what deals with our need. That God cares enough. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and gave. He gave freely, He gave fully His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He cared enough to take our place, to die in our stead. As we looked at in John 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He lived our lives. He was with us. We ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others. If anyone deserved the condemnation of God, it was someone who bears that character. It's you and me. But here's the one contrast of the gospel. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, with flesh and blood, man and God, with a divine nature. We have the divine presence of God among us. This is the goodness and loving kindness of God. And we see in the waters of baptism, not simply that sin must be addressed, but how good and how kind and how merciful and how gracious God is to sinners like us. That's what we need. But now, secondly, the method. How does this work? And the common first response when we hear of our need is, well, what do I have to do? That was so important with the COVID-19. What did our team of 5 million need to do to keep this virus from having its way in New Zealand? Oh, and we did some things, didn't we? There was a lockdown, closing of businesses, working from home, social distancing, isolation, and now quarantine, closing our borders, testing, always testing, always vigilant, always careful. That's how we approach so many of life's problems, and we hear of our need, and that's a natural inclination. Well, what do we need to do? What do I do? If I'm in this pit of sin and in this pit of misery, if I am like this, what do I need to do? Well, I need to change. I need to make New Year's resolutions. I need to make spiritual resolutions so that I can change, so that I can live a different life. But be aware, that's not what God is teaching us here. That's not the method that God proposes. In fact, that just continues to perpetuate the problems. To say that it's up to me, that I'm going to do something to change, that I'm going to do something to change my accountability to God, only perpetuates, because it refuses the grace which He shows us in Jesus Christ and says, I can do it on my own. And Paul addresses this. He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness. Did you hear that? Not because of the righteous things you do, the good things you do, the best things you do, the most obedient things you do. God did not save you because of what you have done. The horrible truth is that our good works, yes, the righteous ones, they're filthy rags. They're worthless. In fact, they're liable to condemnation. They're never good enough to cleanse you from your sin. We are not saved because we do good, but because God is. Because God is good. It is His loving kindness. And because God is active in washing us, and He tells us how. He saved us, not because of the works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, according to His own compassion, because He looked at us in the pit of misery, and He was moved with compassion. And He saved us, and here's the method: by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. The method of this washing of regeneration is what God does through the person of the Holy Spirit. The washing of regeneration is the cleansing and purifying of the soul, and He renews us as well. What a glorious way of speaking about the work of the Holy Spirit in salvation. And applying the work of Jesus Christ to a soul that is overwhelmed in sin, it's being born again, being brought to new life in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is the person of the Trinity who proceeds from the Father and the Son to accomplish this task, to apply the work of Jesus Christ and to bring new life to a soul that is dead in sin and misery. And not only to give life, but to revitalize life, to renew. Because so often we lose our way. And the waters of baptism remind us that the Spirit is the one who renews us, who reinvigorates us and revitalizes. And here again, the generosity of God is noted. Here again, we see, because the Spirit has been poured out on us richly, richly, through Jesus Christ our Savior. There's the fact that it's the union with Christ, which the Holy Spirit is accomplishing. But when the Spirit is poured out upon us, He is the one who brings regeneration and renewal. And He hasn't been poured out in a stingy way. He's been poured out richly on us. The Holy Spirit is God. And as God, He is an inexhaustible resource for the Christian life. The Holy Spirit is an inexhaustible resource for the Christian life. Why was COVID such a concern? Because our resources were so limited. The hospitals would soon be swamped. The ICUs would be overwhelmed. There wouldn't be enough treatment to go around. There was concern about personal protection equipment. Did you think what would happen if we ran out of soap? We couldn't break the transmission. Oh, the wonder of what God is showing us here. The Holy Spirit is an inexhaustible and infinite resource. For the method of cleansing from sin. And what does the Spirit use? He uses the Word, and He uses the work, the Word which reveals the work, and He shows us again how Jesus Christ has fully atoned for all our sins. That's the method. The need is our sin, the need of a Savior, the need of a God who is good and loving. And He bestows that upon us through the gift of the Holy Spirit, who works to regenerate and to renew, to revitalize. And He pours out that Spirit most generously, most abundantly, most inexhaustibly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Again, so that's the method, but thirdly, the result. What is the result? We have hope, verse 7. So that being justified by His grace. Oh, the tremendous words of justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. We're right with God. Where we were alienated, estranged, we're right with God. We might become heirs according to the promise. We have a different expectation. We're an heir. We have a different inheritance. Eternity is ours. Not an eternity of death as we deserve because of our sin, but an eternity of life in Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit as a down payment, guaranteeing that that will certainly take place. But we need to recognize that this hope is not just by the by, one day when we reach pie in the sky in heaven. It's a present reality, a new status that we can say today, justified. I'm right with God in Christ by His grace. We are an heir according to the hope of eternal life. God says to you, sinner, this morning, by believing in Jesus Christ, you're one of the family now. You're not a stranger. You're not an enemy. You're not an alien. You're one of my children. You're my friend. You're my beloved. And one of the most significant blessings that we have as the Church of Jesus Christ. And one of the realities of this inheritance is knowing, as one of His children, knowing the promises of the gospel. And how confident we can be because of the Holy Spirit's activity, of the washing of regeneration. And as we conclude this morning, this is a summons for all of you who hear to consider and attend to God's Word this morning. What is this baptism showing us? Well, God gives us the interpretation in His Word. There is something more deadly and more destructive than COVID, more dangerous than any disease ever invented or developed among man. It's sin. It's sin. It's your soul's natural condition. And God, who is good and loving and the great physician and who knows all, knows more than all the statistics and all the doctors of the world, the God who is infinite, is calling you to believe on His Son. You need to be washed. You need a Savior. We all do. And He has appeared. God, man, Jesus Christ. Don't think that you have enough good to outweigh the evil that you have done. Don't think that by being a better person, you can make God happy. That actually only makes Him more angry. He says, believe in His gift, in His provision. And the method that the Holy Spirit is using, the Holy Spirit tells us what it is in His Word. The method the Holy Spirit uses is He uses the preaching of the Word. He uses the Word to call us, to call us, to call you, to call me, to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. That's not my message. That's what the Holy Spirit is saying to you right here, right now. He uses the call of the gospel to know your need, to recognize the provision of Jesus Christ, to look for the work of the Holy Spirit to bring regeneration and renewal, to give hope of eternal life. He uses that, what you have just heard, to wash and renew you. And when you have the Holy Spirit uniting your soul to Christ, you have the hope by this awareness of need, method, and promise, you have the hope of eternal life. God shows us this morning, with the Word and the sacrament, the washing of regeneration. May it be more than a sign by the Spirit's work. May it be an active work which brings us to life and renewal in Jesus Christ. Amen.